Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my guest is Jeremiah. Jeremiah is an alien abductee, an experiencer in various types of paranormal, supernatural experiences. He's had my lab experiences, and he's got quite a lot of insight to share. So, without any further ado, Jeremiah, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you for having me, James. Like I said, I'm a big fan, honestly. I appreciate your work.
Thank you. I appreciate your support and encouragement. Well, without getting too specific, so as to maintain your confidentiality and your anonymity, can you tell us a bit about your background and your journey in all of this? When did you start experiencing and recognizing the phenomena for what it was? But, getting ahead of ourselves, but please, you've got the floor.
Perfectly, sounds good. One thing I will add before I do jump in, please feel to interject and ask any questions that you may be thinking of at the time. It'll actually help with the flow of conversation for me. So, I'll start with I guess my conception. My birth was what I believe my birth was entirely inorganic, coming from a lineage on my maternal side of essentially what people report within the Rh negative community being miscarriages, things of that nature. So, my aunt having miscarriages, my grandmother having a child that after 10 minutes of being born, the child passed away. And then with my own mother, being married to my father for 10 years and not being able to have kids, and the doctor telling them that they were not able to have kids. And essentially there's just there's an element that's missing between the Rh positive and the Rh negative, and they're not exactly able to co-create efficiently or properly. So the way I was born, I believe there were a lot of beings who were born this way in the early 2000s. Essentially, it's not a not natural co-creation, an orchestrated conception. When my mother finally found out that she was pregnant with me in 2000, early 2000, she had told me about a bird coming down and grabbing her hair. And I had told James this before, and the way that he had interpreted it was like, it's kind of it could be interpreted or perceived as a message from the gods, in a sense. It's never happened to her before, it's never happened since. So it kind of is a bizarre phenomenon, like I said, the bird came down and grabbed her hair, and there were just a lot of omens that kind of led them to believe that. Well, it's not necessarily that they believe that, but perceiving it from my end, that would lead me to believe that, there was something inorganic. And then when you hear the rest of my story, it all kind of makes sense and it comes together. I would like to hear your input on that if you had any at all. Just on the potentiality of that, nature of an event, and how that could be a possibility, or how that has happened in the past, where people are their births are orchestrated in a way that is inorganic.
I've seen that
What
before.
were your thoughts on this?
I've spoken to a number of women in particular who told me, well, two sides of the same coin, all points of the spectrum in between. For example, one gal I knew, she was in the Mormon church, and she was one of those types that was North County, San Diego. He lived up in Carlsbad area. And he had a lot of experiences, frequent experiences, and she made the mistake of telling her Mormon bishop, and he didn't like to hear any of that. But point being is that she had a sexual encounter. She, by her own admission, she said she'd become extremely promiscuous over time because of, I guess, acting out from all these experiences, right? Going back to childhood. So she had basically a one-night stand with a guy who turned out he had this Latin American Mayan type of ancestry background, right? And she said a split second after he, okay, this is adult content, folks, okay? M for mature audiences. He said the moment he ejaculated inside of her, she immediately felt her breasts swell, right? He immediately knew at that point that she was pregnant. And then the son that she wound up, I don't think she ever even saw the guy again after that. But the offspring, what she begat from that, turned out to be a very sharp, very sensitive, very intuitive boy. Okay. So that's an example. And we see both sides of the equation do this, the more negatively polarized beings as well as the more positively, I would say. And it's kind of like it's a manifestation, an example of the spiritual war in heaven, spiritual warfare, where from a cosmic chessboard perspective, they're trying to move their pieces into place. And if they can't get absolute complete control of an offspring in our example, or a family tree line, then they're going to try to pile as much of their DNA, junk DNA, into each kid or succession of kids. That's why you can have such a variance within the same family unit, where you have a very intuitive, gifted, empathic type person in the exact same family full of narcissists and freakazoids, right? And frequently that empathic person is just the on the receiving end of a lot of abuse all across the board. Okay, that's just one example, but I have also heard stories of women who were told, like your mom was, that she was just incapable of becoming pregnant. And then through some kind of orchestrated mean, usually after an abduction or some other kind of event, and a lot of this medical implantation, et cetera, can happen in more than one dimension also. So they wind up getting pregnant. And then once again, the child out of this mysterious union, if one could even call it that, it turns out to be a very extraordinary child. But we've seen the extreme opposite end of this, where they can entire cultures, entire ethnicities, entire religious zealot creed families, if you will, can create whole hordes, successive generations of psychopaths. But anyway, please continue.
Funny enough, on my father's side, it is that Mayan Native American bloodline, and on my mother's side, it's that Basque Spanish bloodline. And if for all the experts out there, the hybrid experts, including James, and I wouldn't consider myself an expert, but I am well versed on the subject, considering I've been studying it for about 5 years now. Very reptilian features on either side of my family, being the high cheekbones, the droopy eyelids, the sunken in eyes that sit at the back of the head. And we can get into that more in the second segment, because we're going to keep this more about my lab and ET abduction based material. But there are a lot of key components that do line up with, not only my conception, but I began to connect the dots very blatantly, to the extent of even some, there's some personal information that I won't say, but I have like perfect proof. If you study gematria, there's certain numbers that have to do with my personal information that I found to connect to reptilian bloodlines. So I did study into gematria, and because the way that everything in this realm is coded, it's literally coded and tattooed with information, whether it be through numbers, synchronicities, words, everything is coded, and the answers are always right there in front of you. But yeah, that'd be a good way to say all of this started. It was my conception being entirely inorganic, and then just kind of growing up, essentially kind of being that extremely sensitive, intuitive, empathic, almost. I'm not a therapist. I'm not any type of person that can diagnose myself with anything in particular, but what autistic people have reported to experience being autistic, like I said, just extremely sensitive to sound, afraid of the dark, extremely emotional, empathic. Being the kid in the class that would cry over anything, and the other kids are laughing at you, things this kind of nature. It's no hard feelings, but it is what it was, So essentially, growing up, I would say I wasn't introduced personally into witchcraft or into occultism, although that was present in my family. On my maternal side, there were people on my maternal side who did practice occultism and witchcraft, and they can claim that they're a good witch or bad witch, or they were doing it for the right reason. And re regardless of what magic people delve into these, when you open these portals, you're attracting entities into your cipher and the people around you who are also in your bloodline. The cipher are the people around you. So this is not, you know, when you have an entire bloodline for thousands of years, for that matter, that's practicing magic or occultism, whatever it may be, you know, there are entity attachments that come with that. You know, you can trace some of these bloodlines back to the Tower of Babel. You know, just naturally, I wouldn't say, I don't, I'm looking for the right term. Yeah, naturally occult-based families, I guess. Magic. I don't know what the right terminology would be for that, but you get what I'm saying. So, essentially, when I was growing up, some of the people that I grew up around, being one person that was 2 years older than me in my neighborhood, and so say I was 8 years old, I grew up around a girl who was 10. And she used to tell me that she was a witch. And it's funny how this energy kind of finds you, because it's not common at all, especially coming from the mouth of a kid. It's not common at all to hear that. So, you know, being 8 years old, this girl that I had grown up with, she was essentially delving into Wiccan. She was telling me that she was a Wiccan. excuse me, my apologies. Yeah, she was basically, she would tell me things of the nature of, I put a spell on people, or I put spells on people. And then she would tell me things like that she would turn white candles black. I apologize, I'm trying to get situated. Give me a second.
That's quite all right. I'd like to interject real quick also. Now, she was saying this as an 8/10-year-old time frame, right?
I was 2 years younger than her, so she was, yeah. You can only imagine what she had experienced on her end,
Yes,
you know.
but a quick point. I think that there are some people, like I knew a number of gals, small sample size to be sure, but I think still statistically significant. And every one of them said they were practicing Wiccan. And these are gals I knew. Some of them were research colleagues and close friends of mine, and others were in our field. So they had stated that they were Wiccans. Each one of them had Draco experiences. Let me think, did all, I think all three of them had my lab experiences too. So it's a, is it a chicken and the egg syndrome? Which came first? Did they become a Wiccan and open things up and things came in? Or I'm thinking just as likely that,
Well, I was my apologies.
latent, there was a latent tendency, if you will,
Right.
within
Well,
them, within their bloodline, where they had this capability. Some people have the capability, they don't delve in that direction, they go into economics or, you know, literature or whatever. Other people, they get steep into the mysticism of it all, and then things really start to open up. Go ahead.
Well, I was definitely related to this person by bloodline. I have this sixth sense when it comes to people who have this reptilian genetics within them. And not just reptilian at that, but being Draco DNA, you know, the pale serpent DNA. And like I said myself, very pale skin, very light complected, dark features, being my hair is, you know, black. I have like red in my facial hair a little bit. I tetrachromia, which is, you know, when I was born, I had blue eyes that turned brown, you know, just very recessive genes. And I grew up with this person, you know, so I probably met her when I was 6 years old, and I still know her to this day. She doesn't live here anymore, but if I saw her, it would be, you know, I would welcome her. I'd say, you know, I'd greet her. But essentially, this girl was demonically charged, to say the least. You know, verbally abusive to me, physically abusive to me. And so, in the modern mind control, with modern mind control technology, they can essentially turn anyone around you into a handler if you are a subject of these type of energies or these type of technologies. They can have people monitor you that they're not even in on it. You know, if you studied the mind control programs back in the 80s or the 60s, whatever may have you, everything was manual. People were on payroll, versus now everything is electronic. So if they wanted someone around me to be a handler or to carry out the duties of a handler or a spiritual handler at that, they could do that without having that person on payroll or even having them conscious of it. I've found that many of us who are in these particular bloodlines, we grow up around people and are constantly interfacing or meeting people who are a part of these bloodlines, as it's all orchestrated and synchronistic. So I won't make this segment too long, but I will say that at one point, oh, okay, so this is kind of I would say this is a symbolist. There's a deep symbolism in the first experience. This is one of my earliest experiences or memories that I have with that particular girl. We were walking through the woods, and there was cactus plants, and there were these fruits growing on the cactus plants. And she had told me that there were no spines on the fruit of the cactus. And I believed her. I was probably 6 or 7. So she was essentially provoking me to pick the fruit. And she said, "You can pick the fruit and eat the fruit." And so I said, "Okay, there's no spines on it, right?" She said, "No, just the cactus." And I picked the fruit, and my hands were covered in spines. And I think that that's symbolistic. Or it symbolizes, the Garden of Eden and picking the fruit. But she was laughing at me, and she, just demonically charged, right? I'm 2 years younger than her, but she was just sharp, and she was, practicing witchcraft. And then I stopped hanging around her at some point. When I was 10 years old, she was 12, or about 13 at the time. There was a bird that had fallen from the tree. It was a small bird. There was nothing wrong with this bird. She had convinced me that it was dying. And we found out later it wasn't dying, but she had convinced me to sacrifice this bird. And so what she told me to do, she said, "Pick the bird up." So, okay. She said, "Dig a hole in the ground." Okay. Dug a hole in the ground. She said, "Bury the bird to its neck." So I buried the bird to its neck with the head sticking out. And she said, "Now put a bucket over it," because we had a bucket there. And I put a bucket over the head. And she said, "Okay. God will surely be pleased with what you've done." And that shocked me, and it was traumatic. And I went inside and I started crying, and I called my mom because she was upstairs. I was screaming. Like I said, I was highly empathic, highly sensitive. And my mom told me to take her to the bird. We luckily got there about 5, 10 minutes later, dug the bird up, took it to a animal wildlife center. We were able to save the bird. There was nothing wrong with the bird besides the fact that it was very young and had fallen from its nest. But we were able to save that bird. And if it had gone her way, I would have, that bird would have died, and it would have been a sacrifice, and would whatever entities were working through her had kind of manipulated her to do that, And it wasn't going to be her that, killed that bird. She wanted me to do it for whatever reason. But yeah, she was just, yeah, she was a lot, man. She was a lot. And she kind of like, she caused a lot of disarray, like a lot of trauma in my early, in my early life. But yeah, so it kind of started there. And then I'll say, fast forward to sixth grade, I found myself isolated a lot, being that I'm an only child. I found myself alone all the time. Sixth grade, I didn't get to tell you this when we talked on the phone, but I found myself over the years kind of being, I get caught in like this sub-transmission zone that people tend to experience or describe when they experience sleep paralysis, being awake and asleep at the same time. Although my experiences weren't initially negative in that what I call sub-transmission zone. When I was in sixth grade, I was asleep. My body was asleep, but my consciousness was hovering above my body. And I heard static. I heard static the whole night. And I was kind of fading in and out of this state of consciousness, but there were very clear moments. And I remember hearing voices saying, "He's doing great. He will be just fine. Everything's going exactly as it should." And I heard that on a loop. And while I heard this on a loop, I heard like metal utensils being placed on a metal desk, like if you're in a dentist's office or if you're in the doctor's or some type of surgery room, or whatever may have you. So that was I never forgot it because that was one of the oddest experience I had ex I experienced in a in my younger days, So that I'm just kind of I'm kind of I'm building this up to my later experiences or my more recent experiences. First and foremost, I would like to know what you think about that realm that people get caught in, like that sleep paralysis in between type realm. What do you think about that? Especially that experience that I just told you about. Like, what would you think that was?
I know the sound you're talking about, that when either in a dentist's office or in a medical clinic, they put down the scalpel or the clamps or whatever on a metal tray and it makes these clinking sounds, right? So that is familiar to everybody, even on a surface level. But you were laying there and your body was in physical paralysis, but you were out of your body. These beings, because they're masters, some of them, a frequency and a resonance. They can essentially coexist, be wherever they are, and for all we know, they could be somewhat corporeal in their dimension, for lack of a better term, but still interface with what we would perceive to be our astral body, our non-corporeal body. But to them, in their realm, under their control system, there's some degree of physicality which allows them to manipulate. Because I've gone through this. I don't want to belabor the point with the people heard the story, but very briefly, had a split consciousness thing going on where, like one side, it wasn't a literal slice down the middle, seeing two realities at the same time down the middle, but somehow my consciousness was able to perceive that the physical me was laying in my bed at home in San Diego, and this other me was laying on a medical table in a small clinic. And I was having a surgical procedure done by this really ugly looking alien female with this crooked black wig, this silly nurse's hat. Point being is that when this creature injected me in that realm, right here in the bicep, in this realm, when I woke up, because the phone rang, and ironically, one of the gals I told you about that was the Wiccan that was having Draco experiences called me up. Right. And so the me here in the physical realm said, okay, someone's calling. And that kind of broke me from that split consciousness thing. I woke up, I answered the phone, and I talked to this guy for a little while. And then after I finished, I checked my arm, which was still aching. It was aching as if I'd just gotten a hypodermic injection in my bicep. But in this reality, there wasn't even a puncture mark. But in that reality, I was feeling and touching the puncture wound with my index finger, right? So point being is that they can manipulate our different energy bodies at different levels. So anyway, please continue.
Okay, so essentially they kind of built me into this disassociated personality. Right after that, that was kind of like there was a lot of, what I perceived to be supernatural experiences that kind of followed after that. Particularly being hearing the voices, like OCD thought loops and, to the point of just torment, just pure and utter torment. You're just being tormented by these voices.
Just to interject for a second, what seemed to be the main theme or message, or what was the nature of these intrusive thoughts? Do you remember that?
These beings have always been obsessed with my sexuality since I was a child. These beings have been utterly obsessed with my sexuality, being a heterosexual male. Telling me things, slurs, calling me the F word, saying that I'm actually gay, but I'm closeted, and I just have not, faced those emotions. Just things that, are not true,
Yes,
and just to the
bingo,
point of
bingo,
utter
because I've
torment.
spoken to a number of people who, in fact, one of my friends just told me on social media that, and I've had her on the show years ago, that when she was going through a lot of the gang stalking and voice to skull crap, they kept telling her, we're going to make you androgynous, we're going to make you androgynous. Barbara Bartlett stated decades ago that one of their prime objectives was to turn a significant a demographic of the population, make them transgender, make them change their sexuality. So we're seeing all of that manifest out in the open now. Please continue.
Right. So yeah, that, that came and went, and I remember that they were entities because the day before my 7th grade year started, I remember saying, "This is enough. I'm in school. Come back later. Give me some other time." Literally, I said that. Sure enough, they came back, right? But they left me alone from my 7th and 8th grade year for the most part. Literally, overnight, I requested them to stop and they stopped. Okay, fair enough. So, and it I got mine because they manifested through a lot of the kids I was in school with. I was getting into crap, like little miniature fights and kind of just going through it. I was just isolated or, at odds with other people constantly growing up. I think you said it the best. You had said it in one video that certain individuals have to escape or essentially navigate through a labyrinth of entity infested, narcissistic, sociopathic type of people. And that's been my entire life, whether that be in my own family or people that I meet. I've never really kept a group of friends around that long. It's just kind of been very combative. It hasn't, if not to be cliche or anything, if you wanted to say that, there was someone that didn't feel human or just did not feel like they fit in, that was me, essentially. Anyways, these thoughts go. I had anxiety disorders in, my freshman year, 2015 to 2016. I was in 9th grade. I started to experience like disassociation, seeing the color red. And when I say, people make the joke, "Yeah, I'm gonna see red. I'll see red." Yeah, I really saw the color red when I would get angry. I would see the color red, and I would just disassociate essentially. I felt like I was on autopilot all day. Going into my sophomore year, I remember one occasion, I was under the influence of something, and then the voices came back. The voices came back, and they were louder than ever, and they were playing music. They were playing music in my head. So I'm sitting in this room, and I can hear music in my room, and it's like a sad, scary type of music. Sad music is a very low vibration. Very low vibrational music. Just a PS, if you are sad, do not listen to sad music. Listen to happy music. That'll reverse the sadness. But essentially, I was under the influence of something, and the voices came back, and they were essentially back with the sexuality thing. But this time it just brought out this immense anxiety, and they had linked it to an experience that I had when I was younger. I'd been touched on numerous occasions when I was younger, and these entities were essentially pulling that out and saying that I enjoyed being molested, essentially. And they were saying that that was the reason I was gay, and that was the reason that, these voices are just, I mean, malicious beyond your wildest imagination, right? So, and then
Jeremiah,
after that,
just to interject for a
I,
second, when people look at a one moment an attractive, pleasant young gal, and then she goes away to college and gets in with the wrong crowd, really the whole thing is orchestrated, like you said. Some people can resist it, some can't, and then in short order, that pretty soon her long hair is shorn, buzz cut, facial tattoos, blue blonde, green scalp, nose ring. All right. And this process is ongoing where these voices are telling her in our example, no, that's not, what you see in the mirror, that's not you. And they will muck with her mind. So when she looks in the mirror, and she'll really just see, because they've tapped into that etheric third eye vision of hers, they will show, for example, demonic visages, faces over superimposed over her face to make her think that that's what you really look like. Don't be ashamed. You're just a coward, right? This is what you look like. And then she runs into a bunch of people, coincidentally, who believe the same thing, all the body modifications, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not making a value judgment of how people present themselves. I'm just making the observation of what we're seeing playing out in society. And what you're talking about is the inner dynamic of that. So please continue.
So that was followed with extreme psychosis and schizophrenic episode that I endured the rest of my sophomore year in high school, being 2016, 2017. I would not eat until the late hours of the night. That would be my breakfast. I'd have my breakfast at 5, 6, 7, 8, which I still do to this day. I don't eat because I was programmed that way. I don't eat until late at night. So I'll drink coffee and drink water all day long. Intermittent fasting, essentially. I had an array of eating disorders, that manifested around this time as well. But just essentially pure torture. I was in 10th grade. Schizophrenia, hearing 5 or 6 voices in my head all day long at any given moment. Just completely tormented. By the time I got home every day, I would pass out because my mind was exhausted and drained. I would pass out from exhaustion every single day when I got home. So that went on, and I found myself obsessively exercising and, all day long, just going back and forth with these voices, all day long, back and forth. Very demonic voices. They're definitely outside of you. They're external. And if you go to a doctor or psychiatrist or therapist, they'll tell you that it's, being made up in your mind. These voices are smart. They know how to debate. They know how to pick and pull memories and imagery from your childhood. Oh, well, this happened and this happened to you. And, they're just able to play mind games. It's far more so these voices are far more sophisticated than anyone makes them out to be. They're interdimensional and they are sentient. I didn't say they were positive. I said they were sentient. So anyways, junior year rolls around. Eating disorder gets really bad. So I'm fluctuating in weight. And I went from extremely skinny to overweight in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. With my genetics, I can kind of shape shift between being really skinny or not extremely fat, but overweight within a short period of time. So essentially what happened was the voices were still, playing out. And I started overeating. You go through heartbreaks in high school, and I was extremely sensitive. So when my friends would get They'd break up with their girlfriend. They'd be dating someone else next week. For me, I'd be stuck on it for 3 months, just in a dark place about it. Anyways, it was kind of just it was a multitude of things that I was experiencing at that time. And then this one experience happened, and this is where it starts to get very supernatural and very demonic. I was 17 years old, and I went to a party, and I was with a bunch of 20 to 25 year olds, and they were there, and I was the youngest kid there, out of everyone. I wasn't even able to drink at the time, legally. They were, I wasn't. So anyways, I started taking shots of liquor. This is my first time taking shots of liquor. And so I take about 2 or 3 shots. And being adults, they should have been able to tell me, hey, you shouldn't even be drinking, let alone encouraging me to drink more. So 3 shots in, I'm already acting a fool. And they tell me, take another shot, take another. These are demonically infested people. We already know these people. Demonically entity infested people. Take another shot, take another shot. I end up taking 9 shots of alcohol and a couple of sips out of the bottle. So probably 10 or 11 shots. I almost died the next day, but I'll tell you what happened that day. I passed out, blackout drunk. Although I couldn't walk, I couldn't move, I was completely disoriented and out of my mind. I woke up at around 2 in the morning. So we're drinking at around 10. I woke up at 2 in the morning and my pants were pulled down. But I turned around and there was nothing there. And we know about astral raptoids. I'll let you explain that if you want to after I finish. But essentially, I felt something on top of me that was thrusting, and something was raping me. And I turned around, and there was nothing there, but I could feel it, and I couldn't move. Fall back to sleep, wake up again. I throw up red liquid on a white. They had this leather white couch. I threw up a red, like a dark red liquid. It was almost black, but it had red on it. I had not eaten that day, so I was either bleeding or I had some type of entity did something through me or to me. So I ended up waking up the next morning. I couldn't, I was just as a quick If you interjection, if you want to tell them what, astroraptoids are, I mean, you can. Would you like me to?
Very quickly, either a reptilian or other being, reptilian Draco or other being that has the ability to be invisible in our visible spectrum, but still be able to physically interact with it, if you will. And this includes rapes. But the astral raptors also can refer to human reptilian or human Draco hybrids out in society who, in our quick example, meets and befriends a girl online, and then in short order, he's bilocating, astrally projecting, and raping her or sodomizing her, whatever the case may be. So that's a very real capability. It exists not just for non-human entities, but for hybridized reptilian Draco hybrids here on Earth that appear human on the outside, but like you pointed out, with the facial features and what have you, energy signature, you can tell them for what they are.
Right. So, anyways, it got extremely paranormal after this. Next day I almost died. Literally almost died. Throwing up all day long. I didn't go to the hospital. I probably should have, but I was very sick. They feed off loot, they lose harvest off of this dark energy, this negative energy. But anyways, going back to school after that was extremely hard. I found myself skipping school a lot more, skipping class. And when I was in class, I would just kind of put my head down. I wasn't really able to focus at all. Thinking the thoughts I was thinking. On one occasion within the same month. So that happened at the end of December. Around January, on one occasion, I wake up in my room. And so this has been I've had a pretty dark experience after that particular moment. I was already having a bad time before that, but this amped it up a lot. On one occasion, I wake up in my room and I can't move. And there's this black cloud at the top of my ceiling. And I start to levitate towards this cloud. It's like this portal. Start levitating towards this portal, feet first. And there's claws grabbing my calves on both sides. So I'm being pulled towards this portal. And for whatever reason, I'm able to move my right arm. And I had a futon with a metal arm on the futon next to my bed. So I grab it with my right arm and I'm fighting them. I'm fighting them. I'm fighting it. I'm not letting go. And they're pulling me. And I can feel the claws sinking into my calves, which I woke up with marks the next day. They're pulling me. Finally, they get fed up and they throw me into the corner of my room, the left corner of my room, and they start to ball me up into like a fetal position where my knees were in my chest. And I just kept saying, I'm stronger than you. I'm stronger than you. Can't defeat, like, you can't beat me. I'm stronger than this. I'm stronger than this. And finally, I blacked out, and then I woke back up probably an hour later, and I was laying down in my bed, and I had marks on my body the next day, And yeah, just it had kind of spiraled from that point. I didn't really do too well at school. I ended up dropping out, went back the next year, and just kind of just coped. I was just trying to cope. Just getting high all the time, just getting drunk, getting high, just trying to essentially. Fight it off. The next couple of years were, dark. When I was 18, let me kind of go back. So that was my first abduction experience, or failed abduction on their part. But that was essentially when I realized that there was like this malign influence that had been causing, all this stuff in my life. I didn't know that they were reptilian or ET or anything of that nature. I just knew that there was something demonic and malign that was, essentially had me on its radar, and for whatever reason, I'd become subject to that. Next couple years were I started experiencing gang stalking and heavy gang stalking. Like the one headlights on the cars, this you'll see like a car with one headlight broken, and you start seeing that everywhere. Synchronicities, like my entire reality just became flooded with synchronicities, numbers and seeing owls. I started seeing owls everywhere I went. Like I live in a wooded area, essentially neighborhoods in a wooded area. So, every time I'd go out, I'd see an owl, or I'd start having these owl experiences. I'll
Well,
kind of touch
hold that
back.
thought. Yeah, hold that thought. It's a good time to take
Sure.
a break right now. Thank you, Jeremiah. It's been very enlightening and pretty hardcore. Thank you for sharing that. We've reached the end of the first segment. And to our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.